Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Imagine this, if you will. It's 11:30 at night. You're in a gallery or a museum with locally sourced foods, bespoke beverages, modern art, people dancing to some of the city's best DJs, fashion installations, talks and exhibitions, performers and multiple late-night transport routes home. Well, that's how the Culture Minister, Catherine Martin, began her speech yesterday as she published the report about the Nighttime Economy Task Force, which recommended extending opening hours in the state's cultural venues, such as theatres, museums and galleries. And the government also yesterday signed off on plans to overhaul Ireland's archaic licensing laws, which could allow venues to stay open until the early hours of the morning. I'm joined on the line now by Sunil Sharp, DJ and spokesperson for Give Us the Night campaign, and Padraig Cribben, who's chief executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. Padraig, I'll come to you first, because when you hear Catherine Martin's vision for the nighttime economy, what's your own reaction to that?
I think, if we look at the report in its totality, there are about a half a dozen items that refer to licensing and licenses. Many of them we would welcome. I think anything that improves and gives reason for people to come out at night is good for the trade. And if you look at the detail of what's in there, we have been looking for some time of a review of how late night bars and nightclubs operate. It's a very expensive operation. There are recommendations in there to improve that. We welcome those. There are recommendations in there in relation to the application system that we've been looking for some time.
And so the overhaul of these ancient laws, some of them go back to 1833, you welcome that. But the notion of licences being granted for theatres, museums, art venues, empty buildings, people being allowed to stay out until 6 o'clock in the morning, do you have an issue with that?
I think what we would want to see is that there is an absolute level playing pitch, and there has been a pretty bad experience in the past, particularly with theatre licences and with registered clubs who do not and have not in all cases, and I'm not saying in every case, but many of them have not complied with the licences that have been granted to them. And we would say that, you know, what there has to be, very simply, is a level playing pitch. So if I'm a publican and I've got to comply with certain planning laws, I've got to comply with certain fire safety laws, whether that be alarms, exits, if I have to comply with certain security, whether that be CCTV, certified CCTV, certified doormen, insurance, etc., I think the main thing is that there must be a level playing pitch in terms of competition.
Okay, so you'd have an issue if suddenly, once this all comes into place, somebody can have an event in an empty building without having to pay for all those extra safety measures that publicans have to deal with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it is, a level playing pitch that needs to be there. And we have not seen any, at this point in time, we haven't seen any of the detail. Bear in mind that in programmes for government for the last 15 to 18 years, this review of licensing law has been there in some shape or form. It does look like as if that's going to happen now. What is important, unlike the report we got yesterday, that there must be real consultation with the trade bodies representing the licensing sector. I mean, if we look at and it was a very good report that came out yesterday in parts, the level of engagement with people like ourselves was minimal. I think that will not be sufficient in the context of a full review of the licensing law.
You're wary of some of the proposed measures, I think it's fair to say. Sunil Sharp, as I said, is with us. And Sunil, you were at the launch yesterday. You're spokesperson for the Give Us the Night campaign. When you hear Catherine Martin talking about bespoke beverages, modern art and exhibitions, is that your vision too, or are you more interested in the notion that the clubs can go until 6 o'clock in the morning?
I think more access to space is a big one for us. I think entertainment and cultural spaces and more opportunities for those working in the industry, and giving venues a better chance of actually having a sustainable future. That's all very important to us, because for the last 13 years, since 2008, we've seen a gradual fall off in venues and opportunities for those within our sector. So that's at the centre of everything for us. And everything that the Minister said yesterday was very encouraging to us. And as I said, when I spoke after her and Minister Nocton, it was music to our ears. It's exactly what we've wanted to hear from a government for many years now. So very happy with the announcement.
Would you say the Republicans have had almost all of the pie up to now, and this might be an opportunity to spread it around a bit?
Yeah, I would, actually. Pubs don't own nightlife. They own the businesses that profit from nightlife, but nightlife is for the people. It's also for pubs, it's also for venues, it's for anyone that's operating within that realm, whether they're operators, whether they're people going out, whether they're people working in it, in the industry. But the pubs have dictated the terms for nightlife for too many of us for too long now. I hope they will learn from the roads they've led nightlife down. They have contributed to the demise of nightlife. I'm trying to watch my words here, but I want to be honest.
How
as well.
So? Explain to me.
It is true.
How so?
But I think there are newer visions, more openness within the industry now, both within the VFI and LVA, to welcome these changes.
Okay,
and I hope they're going to adapt and get behind.
So, Neil, I'm really interested to explore why you think that pubs have contributed to the demise of nightlife.
Because at every step of the way over the last 20 years since I've known us, they have always opposed any type of extra facilitation of opening hours or any extending of rules or amendments. They've always tried to cut everything down, whether that was the theatre licence, whether that was trying to fix licensing to work for them and for no one else. It's to restrict competition. It's to put more barriers to entry there within the market. And also, this is very much just to suit their own members. It's never thinking about the wider picture. I'm just talking facts and what's actually happened here, because the theatre licence, that could have been amended, that could have been fixed up. And if we're talking about level playing fields here, we've been waiting for 13 years. We haven't been on a level playing field since then. I'm just really glad. It's very encouraging to hear Pádraig say that they are behind some of the changes that are being suggested now. But let's not make any mistake. The pubs are to blame for the mess, a big part of the mess that nightlife has found itself in. But I hope they're going to be part of the solution there.
Pádraig Cribben, what do you say to that?
Well, I think that's totally off the mark. I think what has been responsible is not the publicans, but the licensing law. If you go back, and Sunil himself has referred to 2008 without giving the detail, what happened in 2008 was the then minister, in the 2008 Intoxicating Liquor Act, increased the charge for a special exemption order, which you have to get for every night you want to go late, from €200 to €410. We objected to that at the time. We made it very clear at the time that if that came into play, it would close down quite a number of nightlife opportunities. And we were right in that. If you want to operate currently at beyond the normal closing time, it costs €410 for every night, plus the cost of going to court. And in actual fact, it was the licensing law in 2008. The changes were made to the theatre licences for two reasons. They were made because the minister at the time wanted to bring in more revenue, number one, but they were also made because a lot of the operators of theatre licences were actually breaking the law, and similarly with registered clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit rich.
Some of them were publicans, though. Some publicans
without referring to the facts.
Right.
He referred to them as facts. They're not facts. I've given you the facts now as they are.
Pádraig, about the substantive point?
You were very against the theatre licence, and I don't remember, you may have said it at the time around the exemption order fees. I think we all agree. Listen, I don't want to be arguing with Pádraig too much about this, but I believe what I believe. A lot of people believe what they believe about the pub stranglehold on nightlife. This is a territorial battle as to who will administer alcohol in an area at night. We get that. But we want entertainment spaces, cultural spaces, and we want to diversify the offering at night. And we hope
I think, Claire, the fact that somebody believes something doesn't make it a fact. Sunil put them forward.
Well, we campaigned outside the Dáil. We protested outside the Dáil in 2008. So we remember very clearly what happened back then as well.
And you weren't alone.
And I don't disagree with you about the exemption orders and about what happened there as well. We're in agreement about what happened, but I don't believe that pubs pushed in the direction to help the late night members in the way that they could have back then.
I think it's fair to say, Claire, that most of the opportunities around the country, and one of the things I would say about the particular report yesterday, it's pretty city-centric as distinct from global. Now, there are some issues referred to in towns around the country, but it's pretty city-centric. I mean, in the context of licensing law and extending the hours, etc., I mean, that's only going to affect a small cohort of licensed premises, and
Sunil, can you hear me? One second, please. I just want to put that point that you made earlier, which is a really serious accusation. Hang on a second. I want to ask Porrick about it. Pubs don't own nightlife, Porrick, and you're responsible for the demise of nightlife because of this stranglehold that you're trying to keep on licensing laws and serving alcohol to people who want to go out at night. Now, what do you say to that?
Very simply, you're right. Pubs don't own nightlife. Nightlife is much broader than pubs. Pubs have not killed nightlife. We have, in right across the country, it's in our interest to make sure that there is a vibrant nightlife, because a vibrant nightlife leads to more business, more activity. And as I said, you know, that's an opinion that Sunil has, and he's very entitled to that opinion. But as I said earlier, having an opinion doesn't make it fact. We would welcome, I mean, at the end of the day, if people are out at night, there is an opportunity and a chance that they will come into your premises. If they're not out at night, there is no opportunity that they will come into your premises. So it's in the interest of the trade that there is a vibrant nightlife. But what has to happen in any business is, as I said earlier, there has to be a level playing pitch.
Sunil?
Well, we haven't been on a level playing pitch for the last 13 years. And before we weren't on, we similarly weren't on any pitch. We still don't have a nightclub permit. And Porrick will be aware of the nightclub permit. It was in planning for almost 15 years now, and it never materialised. It's fine. Some people will argue that it's too little too late. But I would just hope the conversation that we're having now, which, to be honest, so far have been quite cordial, and I'm sorry that I've gone all in here, but it is a belief of mine that the pubs have held us back and have led to the demise of nightlife. But I do think they're in a position. They have also been the backbone of the nighttime economy, and they're the ones who are best served to really move this in a positive direction if they want to. And I really hope they will. And I mean that sincerely. We support the pub industry. We support the VFI and the LVA. I'm talking about the past. I'm not talking about now. And if we're talking about it historically, I don't think the pubs have helped our industry or the late night sector, particularly post midnight.
There's a fair contradiction there between, on the one hand, being the backbone of the industry, and on the other hand, being what has strangled the industry. I mean, that's just a simple contradiction.
No, it's not, because you're the only ones that exist in it for the most part. So naturally, you are the backbone of it. And there's something to build on there. There's a positive there, but you are pretty much the only stakeholder in the nighttime industry other than restaurants. And music venues and nightclubs have been tossed to the side for the most part, particularly in the post-midnight market.
But you can't blame the pub trade for that. I mean, the pub trade is out to run its own business.
Partially, we can, actually, due to really aggressive blogging.
Music. The pub trade has facilitated comedians. The pub trade has facilitated all kinds of cultural activities. The fact that other people didn't actually go out and put options in place, you can't blame the pub trade for that.
Well, make the most of it now, Porrick. A lot of your pubs don't offer enough entertainment, and you've been offering less and less for quite a few years now. There's a great opportunity there for you now. So instead of looking over the shoulders of what other people are doing, think about what you're going to do over the next 5 years. That's what my advice would be.
All right, gentlemen, we'll leave it there. Páirc Cribben, Chief Executive of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, and Sunil Sharp, DJ and spokesperson for Give Us the Night. A spokesperson for the Justice Minister has been in touch with a statement. It says, our licensing laws, some of which date back to 1883, are in need of modernisation and reform. The government this week gave approval to draft the general scheme of the Sale of Alcohol Bill 2021. All stakeholders will be consulted when detailed consideration of these legislative proposals begins in the period ahead.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.